Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We set aside our study in 1 Corinthians for a few days and have concentrated upon the prophecy in Micah chapter 5, which foretells the place of the birth of the promised Messiah, namely in Bethlehem. We read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." On the broadcast yesterday, we noted that the background for this prophecy is a time of utter chaos in the nation of Israel. The prophet has been sent to expose the failures of God's people, to rebuke, and to warn them of the impending judgment of God unless they mend their ways. But he also promises them blessing and reminds them that God is a God of mercy. But there are rulers who are not ruling faithfully. There are judges who are failing to make just judgments based upon the law. There are priests and prophets who are failing to speak God's word, but are instead substituting their own opinions and ideas. And all of this has plunged the nation of Judah, both Israel and Judah, into chaos. And God sent the prophet Isaiah during this time with his prophecies, both of warning and of promise, wonderful promises about the coming Messiah in the book of Isaiah. And likewise, this prophet Micah, whose ministry overlapped the time of Isaiah, was also sent to warn people to turn from their sins, to turn back to God, but to give to them many wonderful promises that God would bring blessing, and they therefore ought to look to God and not to themselves and not to anyone or anything else, because God is the source of all blessing. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, December 23. I'm sure many of you are enjoying a day or two or three or four off of work. It is a time of relaxation, a time of holiday, but it is the time when we recognize that there was a day in history, whether December 25th or not, but nevertheless, there was a particular day in history when there was born into this world the God of the universe, who took upon him human flesh, who wrapped himself in the body of a man, who took upon him a nature like ours except for sin, and came into the world to redeem sinners from their sins. And that began when Mary's child was born in Bethlehem on some real calendar day, just like today, as much a real day in the history of the world as today is a real day in the history of the world. But, of course, that day became the most significant day in all of history. Well, with that backdrop, Micah writes these words. Now, we ought to consider first Micah 5:1 before we look at 5:2. And Micah 5:1 says, "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. they will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. That's not a very pretty picture. It's talking about a siege. It's talking about military defeat. It's talking about humiliation. It's talking about defeat of Israel's ruler, who probably was Zedekiah, that was on the throne at the time that that particular statement was written. And it's a reminder of the shameful and humiliating conditions of Israel. And that is exactly what things were like in the day when Micah wrote. But then, following that description of their humiliation and defeat, he makes this glorious prophecy, but, oh, I thank God for the buts in Scripture, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Though things look bad now, dear friends, Micah says, there is a wonderful golden age yet to come, where there will be no corruption of God's law. There will be no war. There will be no poverty. There will be no fear. There will be peace and safety all around. And how is this going to happen? Well, it happens because of an event that takes place in an insignificant little village in the territory of Judah. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah. An insignificant village, too small to be noticed, is what this is saying. Now, both in Joshua chapter 15 and Nehemiah chapter 11, there are a listing of cities and towns and even villages in the territory of Judah, but you will not find Bethlehem listed among them. You say, well, maybe it didn't exist then. Oh, yes, it did. We go back to the historical books, back to the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, and we learn about David, who came from Bethlehem hundreds of years before Micah's prophecy was written, but so small was the village of Bethlehem that it was too small to even be noticed by nearly anyone. That was an accurate rendering that the songwriter gave us when he wrote, O little town of Bethlehem. It was little. Little village of Bethlehem. And yet, to that insignificant place, God would send a very significant person. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, we would tend to think, well, that must be referring to thousands of people, but it may be referring to thousands of towns and cities and villages. I don't know that there would actually be thousands, but there would be hundreds, no doubt. And yet, Bethlehem is going to be one of the smallest of all of them. That's the idea. But to you, Bethlehem, out of you, we read, shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. A significant person sent by Yahweh, one shall go forth for me. The prophet is quoting God, the words that God gave to him to declare. God is speaking, one shall go forth to me, or for me, might be a better translation, who is to be ruler in Israel, who was active in eternity. Now, think about that. Out of you shall come forth to me, or from me, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting, literally from the days of eternity. Immediately, we are presented with a significant problem. What human being, what man, what son of a king, what son of anyone could be described this way? Whose goings forth are from old, that doesn't fit the description of any child that is born whose goings forth have been from old. And then when you add from everlasting, not only has his goings forth, his activities been from of old, but they are from eternity, you are truly faced with a dilemma, and you immediately recognize this has to be more than a man. And yet, as we know, it is a man, but it is the God-man. It is the Christ. It is the promised one who comes on a significant mission, which is described in verses 3 and 4 and 5. Verse 3 says, therefore, he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be greater, or shall be great rather, to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. And this one shall be peace. What is it telling us about the work, the mission of this mysterious person who comes to the little town of Bethlehem, who nevertheless is from eternity? His goings forth are eternal. Well, we read that he comes after an intentional delay. That's the import of verse 3. I'll not go back to it now. And will shepherd his flock. He will lead and sustain his people. But he will extend his influence to the ends of the earth. His mission is not going to be limited to the nation of Israel, to that flock that represent the people of God. And he will bring peace. That is indeed one of the greatest longings of the human heart, and yet it is always elusive. Individuals who long for peace in their lives never get to the place where they have perfect peace. There's always something going on in some relationship, in some circumstance, somewhere, that keeps everyone's life from being entirely and perpetually peaceful. That is elusive to nations that try vigorously, arduously at times, to bring about peace in this world, to stop all these wars, to make alliances and treaties and promises and networks of nations and councils and bodies that will make war cease, but it never happens. In spite of these great desires, in spite of these great efforts, it never happens. In other words, everybody longs for peace, but nobody is able to achieve it until this one comes. And when this one comes, he will bring peace. That's why the theme of peace is so much emphasized at Christmas time. It is foretold, and it is something that all long for, and it is something that Jesus promises, that God promises, that his Messiah will bring. And it is something that Jesus is able to bring, and it is something that only Jesus is able to bring. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And therefore, if you would enjoy his peace, you must surrender to him in faith. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.